Well, good morning. I'd like to welcome each and every one of you here as we continue our worship to our Lord. The theme that we've been following this particular year is one of hope. And last 2 weeks ago, I talked about what the results of hope are. Sorry about that. What the results of hope are in a Christian's life. And we looked at a number of verses. And this morning we talk about in Titus chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So it's by God's mercy and grace, we have that hope of eternal life. And this morning I'm going to share with you the Christian's attitude towards this present world. We know that we as Christians have a responsibility, and that is to share the gospel with all people. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, but sanctify Jesus as Lord in your heart. And he goes on to say, being ready to defend that hope that is in you to anyone who asks with gentleness and reverence. That's our responsibility. So we as Christians have to live in this world, but we're not part of this world. And that's what I'm going to share with you this morning about Christians' attitude towards this present world. We're going to look at, first of all, the Christian is to recognize that Christ's kingdom is not of this world. Even when John the Baptist was in prison, his human side came out, and we know he was the forerunner of Jesus. But yet he questioned whether or not Jesus' kingdom is going to be established, an earthly and physical kingdom. Even the apostles, in Acts chapter 1, we see they were waiting for a physical kingdom. But Christ's kingdom is not of this world. What is the Christian's attitude towards this world? That's something we have to reflect upon and look at in our lives. And finally, we're going to talk about a conclusion to this particular idea. So the scriptures speak of this world in relation that the Christian is to have in. Just because you become a Christian, you're responsibilities don't stop there. They continue on. We must understand what the scriptures teach regarding this subject and develop the attitude towards this world that is in harmony with the truth. Again, God's word is the measure we should be using in our lives. And the proper attitude is always that which is based upon truth. And how do we obtain the truth? By listening, studying, meditating, and praying upon God's word. So the word world is used in various senses in the scriptures. We see, first of all, there's a physical sense. In John chapter 17, verse 5, now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before this world was. This is Jesus talking to God the Father. Again, in verse 24, that same chapter, Jesus says, Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. So the world is a physical entity. The world also includes inhabitants, people of the world. In John 3 and verse 16, we read, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And that's the goal Christians have, that hope of eternal life. And in John chapter 17, verse 21, we read that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be with us, may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. Again, the world, people, the inhabitants of the world. And how do Christians get that message? The hope that they have, which is eternal life, to the inhabitants of the world. The world also is the age or dispensation. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 32, whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, either in this age or the age to come. Matthew goes on to further say, the 13th chapter, verses 39 and 40, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the age. And the reapers are angels. So just as the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be at the end of the age. The world. In the age or dispensation. The world is also referred to as order, sphere, or cosmos of evil. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, John goes and shares this with us, and he says, do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lusts. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. And that's the attitude Christians should have. We shouldn't love this world or the things of this world, the things in this world, they are just material things. They will all go away. But if you do God's will, you will have that hope of eternal life with God in heaven. So the Christian is to recognize that Christ's kingdom is not of this world. In John chapter 18, verse 36, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm." We as Christians are looking for a home with God in his kingdom. That's the hope that we so desire. Christ's kingdom is different from any other kingdom. It was not established as other kingdoms were. The king was not a triumphant hero as in kingdoms of men. And it does not restrain its subjects by force. Christ's kingdom displays love. A love that he has for us by dying on the cross for our sins, for the sins of the world. We know that Christ's kingdom, its purpose is spiritual, not material. It is eternal. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed. And that kingdom will not be left for other people. It will crush and put an end to all these kingdoms, but it will itself endure forever. It's going to outlast any kingdom on this earth. And the Hebrew writer shares with us in chapter 12, verse 28. "Therefore, since we received a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe." We have a responsibility as Christians to glorify God, show him the honor and respect that only he has, he deserves. As subjects of the kingdom, Christians must not be of this world. And it's just like the disciple is not above his master. In Luke chapter 6, verse 40, we read, "A pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone, after he has been fully trained, will be like his teacher." It's up to you and I to glean from God's word his precepts and commandments to add to our lives so that we can give him the glory and honor and have the hope of being with him in heaven. God's children will be of this world. They are considered rebellious towards God. Matthew shares with us in chapter 6 and verse 24, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." In chapter 12 and verse 30, "He who is not with me is against me, And he who does not gather with me scatters. We as Christians have a responsibility to do God's will so that we may have the hope of eternal life. We will serve God over the God of this world. Paul shares with the saints at Corinth in chapter 4, verse 4, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. God sent his Son down on this earth for a purpose. God the Father gave us salvation. Jesus Christ sacrificed his life and his blood was spilled on the cross of Calvary for the sins of humanity, for your sin and for mine. And our part is faith. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and we will obey God's commandments in our lives. A lot of times we fall short of that. All of us do. But yet we have an avenue to approach God, and that is through Christ Jesus, and pray for forgiveness. And according to God's mercy and grace, he will grant that to you and I. There are Christians today who possess the wrong attitude towards Christ's kingdom. They want to be part of this world by advocating that the kingdom's business is to engage in projects that Christ never ordained to be the business of his kingdom. For example, recreation, youth movements, social homes. Jesus Christ didn't institute that. But yet, people are doing that in his name. Adapting fresh, fleshly appeals of this world and artificial lures to increase membership. We shouldn't be doing that. The word of God should stand for itself. We shouldn't be catering to the wealth, fame, and the glory of men. That's preposterous. When we think about what this world is, they put people on pedestals. Everybody in the church is equal. We all have the same gift. That is eternal life. And that gift we should be able to share with others in this world. Sometimes it's difficult to go out and approach someone. But yet we have a responsibility as Christians. Minimizing or watering down the preaching of God's word to please men. We shouldn't be doing that. Paul says to the saints at Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or I am striving to please men? If I was still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. That was Paul's attitude. We shouldn't be pleasing men. We should be pleasing God. The gospel is God's glory and power. We may not be a great orator. We may not be a good presenter of things, but yet we can share our experience on how we became a Christian with others and use the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ Jesus to allow those individuals the opportunity to become a Christian. In John chapter 6, verses 44 through 45, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. And Paul says in chapter 1 of Romans, verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. He's not ashamed of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ Jesus. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and to the Greek. It's our responsibility as Christians to further this message to individuals. Christians' attitude towards this world consists in recognizing that they are in this world, but not of the world. In John chapter 17, verses 14 through 16, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. Again, Christians should not look at the material things in their lives, look at what the world can give them, but rather than look at what God can give them. Christians, they have to associate with people in the world to share the gospel message. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 through 11, I wrote you in my letter not to associate with immoral people. I did not mean with the immoral people of this world or with the covetous and swindlers or with idolaters. For then you will not have to go out in the world. But actually, I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother if he is a moral person, or covetous, or an idolater, or reviler, or a drunkard, or a swindler, not even to eat with such a one. We should associate with people in this world so that they can hear the message about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Paul goes on to further say in the 15th chapter of Corinthians, verse 33, do not be conceited. Bad company corrupts good morals. Something we should be on our guard, because Satan will use what he can to draw us away from the Lord. They are not to love this present world. The love that men entertain for this world is evil desire. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, we read this prior. Do not love the world nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away and also its lusts, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. We also see in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10, for demons have loved this present world, and have deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Cretans have gone to Galatia, Titus, to Dalmatia. Again, they put the world ahead of worshiping God. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. In Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, for the grace of God had appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself up to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. In James chapter 4, verse 4, James shares with us, we see that you adulterous, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. They are not to conform to this world. Christians shouldn't conform to what's going on in this world. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And how do we renew our minds? We go to God's word. We incorporate his commandments in our everyday life. Not just reading it and academically looking at it, but put God's commandments into action so that we can be approved of God. And hopefully we'll hear in the day of judgment, we will receive God's grace and mercy, enter eternal life. And that's the hope that all Christians have. So one soul is more precious than the whole world. In Mark chapter 8, verses 36 and 37. But what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Something to dwell upon in our lives. We are so rich. We look outside of the beauty that God created. This is our Father who had created this. We should be proud of that. We should glorify him. We should give him the honor. And the cares of this world can choke the word and cause the child of God to become faithful. Matthew shares with us in chapter 13, verse 22, and the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. We should be on our guard, because that's what Satan will do to entice Christians to be pulled away from God. Christians have to store up treasures in heaven, not on earth, by following God's commandments. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where neither thieves do not break in and steal. Put your treasures in spiritual things. They brought nothing into this world. It is certain that they shall carry nothing out. You could gain all the material things in the world. And I'm not saying it's wrong to have material things. But if you focus on that as the driving force of your life, you're going to miss out on the hope of being with God in heaven. Just look at Job chapter 1, verse 21. He said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." That's Job's attitude. Give God the glory. And Timothy follows up in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 7. "For we have brought nothing into this world, so we cannot take anything out either." Put your treasures in your spiritual life. Give God the glory so that He knows that you want to put Him first in all things what you do. Though Christians are not to live in this world, but are to live in this world, but not be of this world. We should put worldly things away from us. But we have to be in this world to be an influence to people of this world so that they may hear the gospel message. And Christians are to conquer or be conquered. We don't want Satan to have his way with us. That's why it's important to dwell upon God's word. That's why it's important to meditate on God's word. That's why it's important to pray about for wisdom so that He could give you the strength to conquer. And Christians can never serve this world and be with God in the eternal world to come. Put God first in your lives. If you're not a Christian and you desire to become a Christian, let us know. Come forward and confess that Jesus is the Son of God. And with that confession, you'll be able to be buried in the watery grave of baptism and emerge a new creature, child of God, and be part of His kingdom and not of the world. And if you're an erring child of God and have sinned, we encourage you to come forward so that we may pray with you and help you in any way.